Exactly. Yeah, and just to reiterate to everyone, now we're starting it into the territory where you're going to have multiple, you know, coatings in your head. So this is where separating what each one is actually coding becomes a little bit more difficult. So just something to keep in mind as we're moving forward.
Yes, I think, you know, we've only done two dimensions so far. We're starting the third. You know, by the time we get to the eighth one, which is the final one, it's going to feel, you're going to feel a little confused, I think, to keep them all separate in your head, because they all represent theoretically somewhat distinct aspects of this construct that we're trying to measure, which is quality of object relations. That's the overarching goal, measuring quality of object relations, but they're different facets of object relations that we want to capture with this 8-variable coding system. And so each dimension is going to have its own definition and its own way of scoring. And I just want to, I was trying to point out, and Brian helped me there with a very good example, that, you know, AFF and EIR can be coded or should be coded completely independently of each other. Now, when we move into Q sorting, it gets a little bit trickier because each item is going to be related in relation to all the other items. But I think this is good practice anyway to learn each of these dimensions independently of a Q sort methodology. We're basically learning them on a Likert type scale methodology, which is good for now. That's fine for now. I'm happy to teach it to you this way before we move into the Q sorting process, where you're actually coding all 8 variables, all 8 dimensions at the same time. That's really what Q sorting is going to do for you. You're going to be coding all 8 simultaneously, which I think is actually going to be less time consuming in the end. We'll see. The anchor points on this particular dimension go from like totally selfish and just strictly using people for need gratification to being selfless, empathic, and deeply connected. So if you can kind of think of the continuum there, from totally self-centered, I don't give a shit about anybody but myself, I'm going to use other people for my own need gratification, all the way up to altruism and selflessness and giving yourself to others and getting back from others in a very deep, rich, powerful interconnectedness with another person or other people. That's the breadth of the continuum that we're trying to use in applying this dimension to narratives. Does that make sense so far? All right, so I'm just going to briefly review the anchor points. So one, as I said, is, you know, self-serving, need gratifying, conflictual, toxic, and or chaotic interactions, fighting, abuse, sadism. So in this sense, it could overlap with a one of AFF. It doesn't have to, but it could, where, you know, a murder takes place. But the one would capture when one person serves to regulate, soothe, and satisfy himself, often but not exclusively at the expense of the other person. The other person doesn't have a separate mind, right? The mind is not separate. If any of you know much about theory of mind, the idea that the contents of your mind are different from the contents of my mind, that's not going on here. You know, everybody else's mind is the same as mine. There's no differentiation between my mind and other people's minds. It's all kind of the same thing. So other people don't have separate wants, needs, desires. Everybody's wants, needs, and desires have to be consistent with my own. A two means there's a lack of interpersonal connection represented in the story or the narrative. Could be when only one person is mentioned, Also, it's a score between 1 and 3. So 1 being totally self-serving, and 3, which we're going to get into, is like shallowness, where the representations of relationships in the story are somewhat shallow and surfacey, right? They may focus on physical characteristics or behaviors. There's nothing mental about it. You know, I'm using some of my mentalization work to inform how I understand this, but the idea is that the descriptions of relationships remain on a more physical, behavioral level, and there's no reference to like mental states, like what actually people feel. Okay, little involvement between people, each person's doing his or her own thing. So if you think about a baby at birth is totally need gratifying, right? They need their needs gratified immediately. Nobody else exists but them. And then older, when they get to be like toddler age, they can engage in parallel play with a playmate. So they don't play together, but they'll play separately, but in the same space. We call that parallel play. And that would be like a score of 3. Okay. Each person doing their own thing. But when toddlers become preschool age and they start playing with each other, then we're looking at higher scores. There's more of an emotional investment. So I'm trying to use a developmental metaphor to help you understand the scoring process of this. So unlike AFF, which is not developmentally based at all, you know, young children could get a score of 7 on AFF. This dimension is developmentally sensitive. So, I mean, a 90-year-old could get a 1, but they're acting like a baby. And that's why they get a 1, because all they see is their own needs. All right. A 4 means the beginning of a more mature, more adaptive relationship with other people. There's more emotional investment. The narrative shift from using I to we and us. All right. The 4 reflects a connection or interaction between two people, but only one of the people's emotional attachment is really highlighted. Whereas with a 5, you start seeing the highlighting of the emotional attachment of both parties in the story, or multiple parties in the story. 5 would be conventional sentiments of friendship, caring, love, empathy, and there is some emotional reciprocity going on. I love you, you love me, right? And then for 6 and 7, these are the higher levels of emotional investment that we're looking for, that are going to be a little bit more rare. So first of all, emotional investment would be more the dominant theme of the narrative. It's kind of what you're looking for. You know, you're looking for the dominance of this theme of emotional investment. The level of intimacy and connection deepens, closeness, interdependence, respect, positive connectedness are evident. Going coffee for a friend, sharing thoughts and feelings could be scored a 5. If their interactions deepen and begin to focus on the closeness between them, maybe they start talking about each other, their own relationship. So it's one thing to talk about others and just generally enjoying one's company. But if you start talking about, hey, you know, I really liked it when you called me the other day when I was feeling sad. I really appreciate that. Well, of course, you're my best friend. I'd love doing that kind of stuff for you. You know, that's talking about the relationship. Then that bumps up to a 6. And then if romantic relationships or parental relationships are discussed in depth, generally positive, then higher scores would be given. So those are the anchor points that you're going to be using for this week. If you look at the anchor points at the bottom of the page, you know, a 5 demonstrates conventional sentiments of friendship, caring, love, and empathy. And then a 7 tends to have deep, committed relationships with mutual sharing, emotional intimacy, interdependence, and respect. positive connectedness and appreciation of others. I know some of you are thinking, why can't I have that in a relationship? It's going to happen for you. So, any questions about emotional investment in relationships?
I just wanted to clarify what I was saying to Taylor before. If the person is doing the murder, it's automatically a one. There is selfishness in it. But if like someone is talking about like a murder happened hypothetically, that's where you can get that discrepancy. So I just wanted to make sure that there was that clarification there.
All right. Yeah, let me give you an example of a one. So, let's see. I guess I'd have to say the rape. First grade, walking down the block to the candy store. I got chocolate candy for the second time. We played hide and seek. And one of the guys that was babysitting me went home. And the guy who molested me tucked me in and read me a book. And after that, it's vague. I remember everything so vividly before. And then after that, everything else is in bits and pieces. So what do we have? We have rape. We have molested. We have tucked me in and read me a book. Okay. So what's the rationale for a score of one? Elements of EIR include the words rape and molested, as this is a prime example of abuse. Okay. For these reasons, this is scored as a one. In many narratives, being tucked into bed and read a story would lead to a higher score on EIR. Here, the context to which it is in, that is rape, power, control, leads the score to remain a one. All right. Any questions about EIR, EIEIO? Everybody understand it? Wow. All right. Well, I could go and read you the actual descriptions of under each anchor point, but I assume you've already done that because that was your reading assignment today. So anything, any questions about any of the practice narrative, or not practice narratives, but the narratives under each of the anchor points that you had a question about when you read it for this week? Okay, I expect everybody to get a 1.0 like Jeremy this coming week. Now, what I sent you was I sent you the AFF answers. I sent you the AFF description again. I sent you the EIR description. I sent you the EIM description. Now, do not rate the EIM descript practice narratives. You're rating the EIR practice narratives for next week, not the EIM. EIM is emotional investment in morals and standards. We will get to that next week. Do not code those. Code only the EIR. practice narratives. Everybody got that? All right. How many vote to end early? Brian. All right. Brian has the eyes.
I gotta have my people in mind.
Your peeps. That's emotion. You see, Brian is evidencing, you know, a seven here, emotional investment in relationships of his fellow students. Very, very excellent. He's showing in person what it means to be a seven. It's the Mensch score. So, all right. So I will see everybody next Thursday, unless you're a first year student, in which case I will see you on Tuesday. Oh, and actually, if you're a second year and you're my supervisee, I'll see you tomorrow. That's true for two of you. So, all right. See you later. Thanks. Bye-bye.